Hello. My name is Leslie. Welcome to our podcast featuring excerpts from Dr. Ed's morning briefing, which is produced by our team at Yordani Research. Today's commentary is dated Wednesday, March 4, 2020, entitled The BS Virus. The first topic focuses on Bernie Sanders' ascension to Democratic Party frontrunner. I've been asked several times since last week's stock market correction whether the sell-off might not be just about the COVID-19 virus outbreak. Might the emergence of Bernie Sanders as the Democratic Party's frontrunner and the possibility that it will be a Democratic socialist running against Donald Trump in the general election in part explain the stock market rout? The S&P 500 peaked at a record high of 3,386.15 on Wednesday, February 19. It plunged 12.8% to 2,954.22 on Friday, February 28. There were lots of headlines about the spreading virus that coincided with the plunge in stock prices. However, also coincidentally, Bernie won the New Hampshire primary on Tuesday, February 11. Sanders took New Hampshire with the support of a majority of the voters aged 18 to 29, winning 51% of their votes. Former South Bend, Indiana, Mayor Pete Buttigieg trailed him with 20% of the youth vote, followed by Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren at 6%. On Saturday, February 22, Sanders had another big win in the Nevada primary. Last week, Sanders had the momentum, and the market plunged. But then on Sunday, March 1, Joe Biden handily beat Sanders and the other contenders in the South Carolina primary, with lots of support from black voters. CNN enthusiastically reported. Quote, former Vice President Joe Biden's blowout South Carolina win reshaped the Democratic presidential campaign and positions him as the surging moderate alternative to Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in a 48-hour sprint to Super Tuesday. End quote. On Monday, March 2, Joe Biden welcomed former rivals Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Beto O'Rourke into his camp in a show of force by the Democratic Party's establishment against frontrunner Bernie Sanders the night before Super Tuesday. Buttigieg and Klobuchar dropped out of the race and threw their support behind Biden, whose decisive win in South Carolina on Saturday appears to have cemented his status as the moderate alternative to Sanders' democratic socialism. On Monday, March 2, the S&P 500 jumped 4.6%. The DJIA soared 5.1%, the biggest such gain since March 23, 2009. The Dow's 1,293.96-point gain was its largest one-day gain ever. Is it possible that stock market investors may fear Bernie Sanders almost as much as they fear the coronavirus? Yes, it's possible. After all, the widespread view is that the virus pandemic will probably abate in coming months. Monday's stock market rally might also have been fueled by news reports such as Reuters's March 1 report that China's efforts to halt the spread of the virus are paying off. Socialism, on the other hand, is a virus that won't go away, even though extreme versions of it have immiserated and killed millions of people since it started to spread after infecting the French during the French Revolution. The philosophical founding father of socialism was Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He inspired Maximilien Robespierre, literally the first politician to execute socialist principles. He headed the Jacobin terrorist group that led the French Revolution during the 18th century. He was a big fan of the guillotine. Rousseau said lots of crazy things, but here is my personal favorite. Quote, there is therefore a purely civil profession of faith of which the sovereign should fix the articles, not exactly as religious dogmas, but as social sentiments, without which a man cannot be a good citizen or a faithful subject. While it can compel no one to believe them, it can banish from the state, whoever does not believe them it can banish him, not for impiety, but as an anti-social being, incapable of truly loving the laws and justice, and of sacrificing, at need, his life to his duty. If anyone, after publicly recognizing these dogmas, behaves as if he does not believe them, let him be punished by death. He has committed the worst of all crimes, that of lying before the law. End quote. Look it up, it's in his seminal book The Social Contract, 1762, which is appropriately posted on the Marxist Internet Archive. Hat tip to Mark Melcher and Steve Saukup, my friends at the Political Forum. Read their excellent and provocative book, Know Thine Enemy. A History of the Left, Volume 1, 2018. Investors fear Bernie because he wants to cut off the head of capitalism by raising taxes significantly on the rich and using the funds to provide free everything to everybody else. He also wants to regulate everyone. On his website, he promises college for all. He will cancel all student debt and medical debt. He'll expand Social Security. Medicare will be for all. His program includes housing for all and universal childcare and pre-K. He will embrace the Green New Deal. Quote, reaching 100% renewable energy for electricity and transportation by no later than 2030, and complete decarbonization of the economy by 2050 at latest. End quote. In effect, he will either privatize or destroy the healthcare and fossil fuel energy sectors. He will break up any company he deems to be a monopoly. All we need to know is that Sanders is a fan of Fidel Castro. He said so in a town hall meeting on Monday, February 24. Quote, when Fidel Castro first came into power, you know what he did? He initiated a major literacy program. It was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were illiterate. And he formed a literacy brigade. They went out, and they helped people learn to read and write. Do you know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing. I have been extremely consistent and critical of all authoritarian regimes all over the world, including Cuba, including Nicaragua, including Saudi Arabia, including China, including Russia. I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism. China is an authoritarian country. But can anyone deny, I mean, the facts are clear that they have taken more people out of extreme poverty than any country in history? Do I get criticized because I say that? That's the truth. So that is the fact. End of discussion. End quote. Getting everything for free trumps freedom, according to Bernie. No wonder investors are reacting to him as though he is going to infect us all with the virus of socialism. The second topic focuses on the Fed's 50-point rate cut yesterday. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is a central monetary planner. Along with his two predecessors, he has drugged us with easy money to protect us from life's economic stresses and pains ever since the great financial crisis. The effectiveness of the Fed's painkillers have worn off from overuse. The Fed certainly doesn't have a vaccine to stop the current global health crisis. This past Friday at 2:30 p.m., Fed Chair Powell issued a short, reassuring statement, promising that the Fed will act as appropriate to support the economy in response to risks posed to the global economy by COVID-19. On Monday, we wrote, quote, another round of Fed rate cutting is widely expected, even though it's hard to imagine how that will stop the pandemic of fear. It could backfire if it leads people to fear that the Fed has concluded that the situation is so bad that they have to do something. It would also increase fears of negative interest rates. Nevertheless, the markets are expecting that the federal funds rate will be lowered by 100 basis points over the next 12 months. The surprise is that it could all happen as a one-shot rate cut. End quote. We were half right. Yesterday, on Tuesday, March 3, 2020, the FOMC cut the federal funds rate by 50 basis points to a range of 1.00% to 1.25%. The Fed has not made an emergency move like this since late 2008. The move came after President Trump, in a tweet, called for a, quote, big end quote interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve, quote, to make up for China's coronavirus situation and slowdown, end quote. Also on Tuesday morning, a group of seven finance ministers and central bankers held a call to discuss how to respond. But a statement released after the call contained no specific actions. The S&P 500 fell 2.8% yesterday despite the Fed's elixir. The third topic focuses on falling earnings forecasts. Last week's sell-off in the markets was the worst since the financial crisis in October 2008. On Monday, the S&P 500, 400, and 600 rebounded strongly with gains of 4.6%, 3.4%, and 2.6%. Those were the best daily gains for the indexes since December 26, 2018. At their recent bottoms on Friday, February 28, forward PEs for the S&P 500, 400, and 600 were down more than 2 points from their February 19 peaks to 16.5, 15.1, and 15.2. Forward PEs recovered on Monday to 17.3, 15.6, and 15.6 for the three indexes. While forward PEs are bouncing up and down on headline news about the virus, the presidential race, and monetary policy, 2020 earnings forecasts are going in one direction. Down. Consider the following. Point number 1, faster pace of cuts for first quarter and second quarter. Since COVID-19 hit the headlines in late January, there have been faster than usual declines in forecasts for current year earnings, especially for first quarter and second quarter. Consensus first quarter earnings per share estimates for the S&P 500, 400, and 600 are down 3.2%, 4.9%, and 7.9% year to date through February 27. As of the February 27 week, analysts lowered their year-over-year first-quarter earnings growth rates to 0.0%, -0.5%, 2.6%. Their second-quarter estimates were lowered to 4.6%, 4.8%, and 8.7%. We think they may still be too optimistic. On Monday, we revised our S&P 500 forecasts to zero growth for 2020, with an earnings decline of 5.5% in first quarter and a bigger 8.8% drop in second quarter as more companies see lower sales and breaks in their supply chains. Point number 2, surge in earnings warnings likely ahead. We expect earnings warnings to surge in the next few weeks to levels not seen since the Great Financial Crisis. Large-cap companies with a better feel for the pulse of their businesses will dominate the news. Firms with exposure to Asian demand and supply lines should be able to quantify their impact somewhat, since the virus has been there longer. With quarantines only recently being implemented in Italy and Europe, demand will take a hit there too. Energy companies will see a more quantifiable hit. Their earnings forecasts have been falling all year as a result of the 30% drop in oil prices since their peak in early January. Financial firms will be hit by the trading volatility and could see an uptick in loan losses from smaller companies and the mom-and-pop businesses. Point number 3, less visibility for mid-caps than for large caps. Smaller companies may not be as in tune with their suppliers in Asia as the large caps. Instead of pre-releasing a number or a range, they'll withdraw guidance instead. As a result, the upcoming earnings season for first quarter will probably see the mid-caps deliver substantially more earnings misses than the large caps, and we'll see second quarter forecasts drop substantially on top of that. Point number 4, second half recovery. For now, analysts are holding the line on their growth forecasts for the second half of the year, with S&P 500 earnings expected to rise 9.2% year-over-year in third quarter and 11.4% in fourth quarter. S&P 400 earnings is expected to return to double-digit growth of 13.4% and 13.0% growth in third quarter and fourth quarter. The comparable growth rates for the S&P 600 are very strong for third quarter, 22.2%, and fourth quarter, 23.0%. We are forecasting that S&P 500 earnings will rise 2.0% during third quarter and 7.1% during fourth quarter. That's all for now. Thanks for listening today. Please see the hedge clause on our website www.yourdanny.com. Please let Dr. Ed know if I am doing a better job for you than Siri or Alexa. Have a great day.